My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Et quand on relaie aussi les récits qui sont faits par d'autres puissances, qui sont les vrais colonisateurs du XXIe siècle, et qui sont les Russes et d'autres. Mais quand on rétablit les faits, ce qu'on doit faire, il n'y a pas de raison de ne pas aimer la France aujourd'hui.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 13th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news for the cats. For the cats of Athens. Before we get started on our news topics. One second. Like this video. Share this video, subscribe to this channel, and also hit that hype button. Do you guys see what I see? I do not want to disturb the little guy, but there he is. Climbing up the hill. You got it. You got it, my man. You can make it. Come on. Look at him go. All right, let's let him get to it. He's got a ways to go. It's gonna take him a while. So did I say like, share, subscribe, and hype? I think I already said that. Let's talk about what's happening in the world today. How about that Macron at the Africa First Summit? Is that the name of the summit? Africa First, talking about how Russians are the colonizers of Africa. They're the bad guys. France are the good guys. We have King Charles announcing that the digital ID is coming. He is telling his ministers to get moving on the digital ID for the good of the people of Britain, because a digital ID, according to King Charles, is going to make things quicker and faster and easier for the citizens of Britain. So you got to get that digital ID. Come on, ministers, get moving on that digital ID. Starmer still refuses to leave. He's going to be meeting with Wes Streeting today, but Starmer is not stepping down. He is staying. Not that Wes Streeting would be any better. He would probably be a whole lot worse. But we have Trump heading to China. He's probably already in China. And look, he's bringing all the big CEOs. Have you seen the list of all the CEOs that are traveling with Trump? We got Musk. We got Fink from BlackRock. Apple. Boeing, NVIDIA, all the top CEOs are going with Trump to China, to Beijing. Trump turned this into a business meeting. I believe that at first he wanted the trip to be about geopolitics, because the United States and the Trump administration, their plan was to travel to Beijing, actually to travel to Beijing about a month ago. Their plan was to go to Beijing. They delayed everything. Go there, sit down with the Chinese delegation, with Xi Jinping, and Trump was going to tell Xi Jinping. He was going to tell him how things are going to be going in the world, how things are going to be going moving forward in the world from now on. There's a new sheriff in town, or the same sheriff in town is going to continue to run the world. Mr. Xi Jinping, forget about your multipolarity and all of that nonsense. Let me tell you how it is. We have Venezuela. We have regime changed Iran. And Le Gobelin Vert and the Europeans, they've got Russia on the ropes. That's what he was planning to tell Xi Jinping. You're all on your own, China. You're completely isolated. We've removed all of your friends and allies. So now you will do as we say, as I say, I like it, and I like it a lot. So that was his plan. That was the U.S.'s plan. didn't happen like that. It did not work out, so they delayed the trip as much as they could. And it's turned into a business trip. It's turned into a big business trip. Very big. Boeing is working on a huge deal with China for 600 airplanes. And that's just Boeing. But the Chinese embassy in D.C., they're still looking at this trip in terms of geopolitics. They put out their four red lines prior to Trump boarding Air Force One for Beijing. And the Chinese embassy in the United States have their red lines as number one, the Taiwan question. Number two, democracy and human rights. Number three, paths and political systems. Number four, China's development right. It says here in China, U.S. relations, they must not be challenged, these four things. Don't talk about these four things, basically. Don't challenge these four things. Don't talk about these four things. Most importantly, don't lecture us about these four things. We're not going to have none of it. We will not put up with any of it. So that was what the Chinese embassy in D.C. Come on, phone. All right, there we go. That's what the Chinese embassy in D.C. posted right before Trump got an Air Force One. And Trump spoke to the media as he was making his way to Air Force One so that he can travel to China. And he was asked if he's going to travel to Russia. A reporter asked, "Are you planning to visit Russia?" And Trump said, "I will do whatever is necessary." He always says this when he's asked about Russia. Always. "Are you going to travel to Russia?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, sure. If that's what's needed to get peace, because we're the neutral negotiator in all of this, sure, I'll travel to Russia." So I don't really think this is such a big deal, even though he does owe Russia a trip to Russia, because the last meeting they had was in the United States. So he has to return the favor, diplomatically speaking, of course. But I don't believe he's going to be making his way to Russia anytime soon. He also messed up big time on a reporter's question with regards to Iran. Boy, was this a big mess up. Very, very big mess up. A reporter asked, "To what extent are Americans' financial situations moving you to make a financial deal?" And Trump's reply to the reporter was that he's not even thinking about American citizens' financial situation. Not even a little bit, he said. "I don't think about Americans' financial situations," he says. "All I think about is that Iran should not get a nuclear weapon."
What extent are Americans' financial situations motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about Americans' financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. That's all.
We all understand what he was trying to say, but boy, did he mess it up. He messed up the script. And usually he has his lines well rehearsed. He's good with his lines. He's very good. But he really messed this one up in a big way. Maybe the reporter threw him a kind of curveball by asking about Americans' financial situations. I guess if the reporter asked about uranium enrichment, "What are your thoughts on Iran's latest proposal?" or something like that, or "What do you think about Iran's latest proposal?" then Trump would have delivered his line perfectly. But the reporter threw Americans' financial situations in there, and Trump really screwed that one up. Anyway, that was Trump before traveling to China. And as we have the big summit kicking off in Beijing. Last time I was here, these were not around. Look at how much they have grown. Wow. A gift from Canada to Greece. Thank you, Canada. So we have a meeting in Bucharest, in Romania. It's the B9 meeting, everybody. not to be confused with the G7 or the G20 or the G12 or the E3 or the E7 or the Y10 or the Y2K. All these meetings, all these names, all these numbers and the letters. All they do is go to meetings. That's all they do. So what is the B9? First time I've heard of it as well, right? The B9. It's been around for a while, actually. It's a group that is usually chaired by Romania and Poland, and NATO is involved. And they basically just talk about military spending, NATO going to war with Russia. They're discussing the Black Sea. I'm sure Odessa's going to come up. That's what they're going to talk about in Bucharest. Romania, Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Czech Republic, Finland, Slovakia, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Iceland, Bulgaria, Hungary, all these countries are attending the B9. B9. And you know who else is going to be attending the B9? Take a wild guess. Take a wild, wild guess. Le Gobelin Stoned. Le Gobelin Verd, he is going to be attending the B9. That's right. Le Gobelin Verd never misses an opportunity to travel and to get out of Kiev. He was actually in Kiev yesterday. Really, he was in Kiev yesterday. Unbelievable, huh? He stayed for the day in Kiev. He had someone very important to meet. Very, very important. Someone who is very well connected with the U.S. military machine. We're talking about the CEO of Palantir, Mr. Alex Karp. Yep, Palantir. Zelensky posted about this on his X, the meeting with Palantir and Alex Karp. And Ukraine has some sort of a cooperation, or they're working on some sort of a cooperation with Palantir. And you're trying to tell me that the U.S. is the neutral mediator in all of this? Come on, when you have Palantir in Kiev, and we know what Palantir is doing. Is there a more evil company in the world than Palantir? Name me one company that is more evil than Palantir, in my opinion. Alex Karp, Peter Thiel. Palantir, AI, the AI surveillance military, God knows what else company. After a visit to Ukraine, the CEO of Palantir stated that the armed forces of Ukraine are using his company's technology as an operating system for war, according to Die Welt. You can imagine it as an operating system for war, says Alex Karp. He explains that Ukraine manages the battlefield just like a technology company serves its clients. The only difference is how many Russian soldiers are killed per square kilometer, why and how, what means were used, what worked and what didn't. And this applies right down to the level of individual units. Ukraine has created one of the most important military defense systems in the world. Every person we spoke to is confident that they will win this war. They are very optimistic, said Karp after meeting with Zelensky. Yeah, so Karp is selling his product. He gets the real battlefield data and information for his AI system to feed into his AI system. And he's going to use this as a big selling point so he can go to other countries and militaries and sell them Palantir's software, their AI software, if you even want to call it that. An operating system for war. So Putin, he announced the successful test of the Sarmat. It will be deployed in 2026, the next generation ICBM, Sarmat.
Putin said it is the most powerful missile system in the world. The total power of the delivered warhead is over 4 times greater than the power of any existing Western analog. Secondly, most importantly, the missile can move not only along a ballistic trajectory, but also along a suborbital trajectory, which thirdly allows for a range of over 35,000 kilometers while simultaneously doubling its accuracy characteristics. Finally, it has the ability to overcome all existing and prospective missile defense systems. So that's Putin announcing the Sarmat. A terrifying weapon, a very powerful weapon, which can avoid all kinds of air defense, can travel in all different directions, and can just about hit anywhere in the world. Russia, way ahead of the game when it comes to missiles, to missile technology. Way, way ahead of the game. The Western media, they were not impressed with the Sarmat. Not impressed at all. They actually see Putin's announcement of the Sarmat a couple of days after what they described to be a scaled-down Victory Day parade, a Victory Day parade where Putin was afraid of a Ukraine drone attack. They described this announcement as a way to save face after the Victory Day events. And so they have to rely on these types of big destructive missiles in order to scare the collective West, and the collective West is not scared. So they were not impressed with this announcement from Putin. And you know, Russia, they've got thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons. It has not stopped the collective West, NATO, even small EU states from allowing their airspace to be used to attack Russia with drones. So the whole nuclear deterrent thing, I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, is really not what everyone makes it out to be. They talk about Iran getting a nuclear weapon. That would be a deterrent. That would prevent an attack from Israel and the United States going forward, or the fact that North Korea has a nuclear weapon that acts as a deterrent. Yeah, maybe yes, but maybe no. Russia has tons of missiles and nuclear weapons, and powerful missiles that aren't even nuclear, that are powerful, that are destructive, terrifying, cannot be stopped. Weapons like the Oreshnik. And this doesn't scare or deter the collective West from launching strikes into Russia, into the capital city, into St. Petersburg. Doesn't scare them, doesn't deter them. Anyway, that was big news from Russia, sticking with Project Ukraine and with Putin and Russia. The Financial Times is saying that Russian military commanders have convinced Putin that they will take the Donbas by autumn. And once they take the Donbas, Putin will then issue new terms to Ukraine and to the West. What we have been saying on the Duran and on this channel for many months now, I get the sense that the Financial Times is watching our work and stealing our analysis. Just kidding. I don't think so. But yeah, that's what we've been saying for a while now, that most likely Russia will capture the Donbas. If you go by the movement on the front lines, and even if you look at a lot of the military mapping channels, we don't have a stalemate on the front lines. Things are moving slow, but Russia is gaining more and more territory. They are capturing more important and strategic areas. And they're getting to the point where all that is going to be left is Slavyansk and Kramatorsk. And once they capture those two heavily fortified cities, then they will have captured everything in Donetsk, Donbas, And that part of the operation will have been completed. And most likely this will happen by autumn, by the end of 2026. And yeah, absolutely. That is when you can expect Putin and the Russian Federation to issue new terms. Most likely they will talk about Zaporozhye and Kherson, of course. But the Financial Times, according to their sources, including Ukrainian sources, they believe that the new terms will also include Odessa and possibly Kiev, maybe Kharkiv. You do have a lot of movement and military activity on the Russian side in the Sumy region as well. They are making moves and progress in the Sumy area, which could be hinting at some sort of move towards Kiev, maybe, perhaps. But that's the Financial Times is reporting, which lines up with what we've been saying for a while now. Merz was giving a speech in Germany. Mr. BlackRock Merz, which way should we go? Let's go down that way. Move away from the noise of the fountain. He was speaking to a union in Germany, and Merz got booed big time, big time booed. BlackRock Merz. I don't understand why they're booing BlackRock Merz. I thought he was well liked. I thought his policies were popular with the German people and the citizens of Europe. BlackRock Merz, loved and respected. Nope, he is despised. He was booed big time. What did BlackRock Merz say? Well, who was he speaking to first? He was speaking to the German Trade Union Confederation Conference. The Trade Union Confederation Conference. That's who he was speaking to. He told a gathering of some 400 delegates from the DGB that people must pull together because we simply failed to modernize our country. Boos and whistles first erupted as he spoke about the health insurance reform approved by his cabinet in April. The changes, which Merz described as historic, are expected to save the government 16 billion euros. That money's going to be going to Le Gobelin Vert, while forcing people to pay more for drugs previously covered by insurance, even as their contributions continue to rise. The chancellor then claimed that the upcoming pension reform, expected to be unveiled this summer, was driven by demographics and mathematics rather than malice on my part or on the part of the federal government. The remarks were also met with hissing and laughter, particularly when he claimed that the reform plans were not a threat, but a big chance. That's right. We're going to cut your pension. We're going to cut your health insurance. We're going to pour billions and billions into the military industrial complex. And we're going to flush tens of billions down Le Gobelin Vert's green toilets. We're going to make you poorer, people of Germany, while making Le Gobelin Vert and the MIC richer. This is a big chance. It's historic. It's a historic chance for the people of Germany. Yeah, it's a big chance to help Zelensky buy some homes, some more homes. It's a big chance. It's historic. Oh, these people, they don't care. Stammer doesn't care. Merz doesn't care. Macron doesn't care. King Charles doesn't care. They don't care.
Und meine Damen und Herren, das alles ist keine Bösartigkeit von mir oder von der Bundesregierung. Ja, meine Damen und Herren. Meine Damen und Herren, das ist Demografie und Mathematik. Und es übersteigt, Sie sind eine große Chance, meine Damen und Herren.
They've got an agenda. They've got some tasks that they need to check off, to complete. And they're going to get it done. They don't care what the people think. Nope. Boo all you want, said BlackRock Mertz. Boo all you want. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm going to take all this money that I'm saving on health insurance and on pensions. And I'm going to build up the German military. And I'm going to build up Project Ukraine, whether you like it or not. And don't think of it as malice on my part, he says. I'm not doing it out of malice. Oh, my God. Unbelievable statement from Mertz. Un-freaking-believable. So Rheinmetall is making a ton of money, the German military company, very big German military company, Rheinmetall. They've got so many contracts in place with the German government that they don't even know how to fulfill all the contracts. They don't know what to do. So many contracts, so many deals have been thrown at them that they just don't know how to complete all of the contracts. Rheinmetall faces implementation problems. The arms manufacturer has secured billions of euros in contracts from the German armed forces in recent years. However, problems are emerging in converting these contracts into revenue. What do we do with all these contracts? What do we do with all this money? How are we going to fulfill all these contracts? It's just too many. It's too much for one company to handle. They'll outsource it. That's what they will do. They will outsource it. And they're already making a deal with a very nasty company. One second, I think I have it bookmarked. Yes, I do. They have a joint venture with Destinus Strike Systems, allegedly a Ukrainian company that's located outside of Ukraine in the Netherlands, registered in the Netherlands, Destinus. And what they're going to do is they're going to manufacture long-range missiles with a distance of 700 kilometers. So there you go. If you have a whole lot of contracts and you can't fulfill them all, joint ventures and outsourcing, that's what you do. The Rheinmetall CEO also announced that they will be mass producing kamikaze drones. Oh, and these missiles, these long range missiles with a 700 kilometer range are ready to be mass produced. And Rheinmetall is ready to mass produce kamikaze drones with a range of 100 kilometers, 70 minutes in the air, and strike targets up to 100 kilometers away. Production is expanding to the Neuss plant, which is being converted from car parts manufacturing to defense production. Look, Germany is serious about producing these weapons, you know? There's a lot of thought that without the cheap Russian energy, without all of these things, Germany's not going to be able to make these weapons, to get this thing going. But the announcements are that they're ready to mass produce. Now, they're saying they're ready to mass produce, saying you're ready and actually executing are two very different things. But look, they've got the car factories that they've converted. They're ready to make the drones, mass produce the drones. They've got the joint venture ready to mass produce the long range missiles. Germany is building up for war, and it's 2026. The goal is 2029, 2030. So they've got another 3 years plus to put Germany in a position to enter into a conflict with Russia, to go after Russia. They've got 3-4 years. I wouldn't underestimate Germany and the globalists. I would not underestimate them on this one if I was Russia. They seem to be very, very serious about building up their military for a conflict. And of course, if things don't work out, they're all making money anyway, right? Even if they don't get into a war, they're all making a ton of cash. So speaking of wars, let's talk about the Iran war. And we've got a name change in the Iran war, a possible name change. We will go from Operation Epic Fury, according to NBC News, to Operation Sledgehammer, which was a very good Peter Gabriel song, right? I want to be your sledgehammer. Very good song and a very good video. I remember when that Peter Gabriel video came out. Very cutting edge. But yeah, Operation Sledgehammer. And according to NBC News, one of the main reasons to change the name is to gain another 60 days. 60 days without any problems from Congress. So you go from Epic Fury to Sledgehammer, Operation Sledgehammer. In between, you had Project Freedom, Operation Epic Fury, Project Freedom, and possibly Sledgehammer. And you get a 60-day reset. That's simple. It's that easy. You know, Operation Sledgehammer was an Allied plan for a cross-channel invasion of Europe during World War II as the first step in helping to reduce pressure on the Soviet Red Army by establishing a second front. It was to be executed in 1942. But the British ruled against Operation Sledgehammer. They weren't for Operation Sledgehammer, and so it was never executed. But yeah, that name floated around during World War II. That's interesting. The New York Times, they are saying that Iran, not Ukraine. The New York Times is saying Iran has 70% of their missiles and 70% of their launchers intact. No surprise there. They also claim that Iran has, according to secret new assessments, not so secret anymore, say Iran has operational access to 30 of its 33 missile sites along the Strait of Hormuz, suggesting that its military remains far stronger than President Trump has asserted. So yeah, the New York Times threw that in there. 30 of 33 missile sites along the Strait of Hormuz. You know what the New York Times is telling, let's go up, is telling Trump. You gotta attack Hormuz. That's what they're telling him. You didn't destroy all their missiles and their launchers. That you did not do. So stop saying they've been obliterated, but even more important is than their launchers and their missiles is the fact that the Strait of Hormuz has missile sites intact. You got to go after those missile sites. That's what they're telling Trump. Go after those missile sites. Take out those missile sites, Mr. President. That's the purpose of this New York Times article. So let's do a clown world. Did I get to everything today? I think I got to everything because I'm stumbling around. Almost tripped, fell. That would have been embarrassing. But it would have been perfect timing for clown world. So we have
In today's clown world, we have Trump Tower in Australia has been canceled. The 91-story project will still go ahead, just without the Trump name. The brand in this country has become toxic to Australians. So building the tower, yes, but the Trump branding, nope. I don't like it. I don't like it. And then we get to Air Force One. Let's go back to Air Force One, where we have Marco Rubio modeling the tracksuit that Maduro was wearing when the United States kidnapped him. And he was mocking Maduro, and the White House is mocking Maduro, because what the White House did is that they actually posted a video or an animated GIF of Rubio wearing this outfit, wearing the Maduro outfit on Air Force One, modeling it. And then they cut over to Maduro wearing the outfit. The White House says, in the video, it says May 2026 with Rubio. And then it says January 2026 with a blindfolded kidnapped Maduro. Full circle moment, says the post from the White House. Despicable. Absolutely despicable post from the United States White House. Proud of your kidnapping. We're proud of our kidnapping. What is happening with Maduro? Is there a trial? Where is he being held? What's going on? Maduro and his wife. What is happening there? And you have the top diplomat of the United States. This is the top diplomat of the United States wearing this outfit and mocking Maduro. And notice how they're mocking Maduro as they're traveling to China. Which leads me to believe that the Duran's analysis, Alexander's analysis, my analysis on what Trump really wanted to do with this China trip is true. He really did want to go to China, and he really wanted to stick it to Xi and tell Xi that Venezuela, Iran, and Russia are finito. You are all alone. But that is not what happened. At least with Iran, they are still fighting, and Russia is fighting and winning. Though we did have another 300 drones launched into Russia from Ukraine today. We also had Russia launch drones after Ukraine launched drones. And Russia also launched drone strikes into Ukraine. Powerful nuclear weapons, powerful Sarmats. And you have these drones hitting the Russian Federation. So we have one more clown world. Trump posted on True Social, Venezuela, 51st state. Venezuela, 51st state, 51st distraction. Distract everyone away from everything that is happening in Iran and in the economy and all of those things, and start talking about a 51st state. It's going to be Greenland. It's going to be Canada. It's going to be Venezuela. It's Venezuela now. It's Venezuela. By the way, Greenland, according to the BBC, Denmark, Greenland, they are in negotiations. NATO, Denmark, Greenland are in negotiations with the United States for 3 military bases in Greenland. Not only military bases, U.S. territory, overseas territory in the south of Greenland. In other words, they're going to give the south of Greenland to the United States. That's what the BBC was trying to get at, but it didn't want to say it. So they were talking about deals and military bases, and these would be U.S. sovereign territory and overseas territory. Just come out and say it, BBC. What they're negotiating is to give the south of Greenland to the United States. That's my video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Telegram, Rumble, go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. 30% off all t-shirts on the Durant shop. Also check us out on Substack. I just did a circle and I'm right back to the fountain. I will see everybody tomorrow. Back to the fountain, but no more fountain. Take care, everybody.